Welcome back, everyone, for this week's episode of our Smoky Mountain Wrestling Podcast. This is Smoky Mountain Wrestling episode number 55 from February the 13th of 1993. We're still steaming right along into Smoky Mountain Wrestling. We're still in Newton Rec Center from Newton, North Carolina. Harper, how you doing this week, man? You hanging in there?
Yeah, bro, doing all right.
Same here, me too. What about you, Doc? You good? You hanging in there?
I'm wondering if by the time this airs, whether or not construction will be finished at my house.
I'm going to bet on the side of fuck no.
We're building a new wing to Turner Mansion because it's a sprawling complex on multiple acres, so it's taken a while.
Now, he's full of shit when he says that. There is no new wing being put up. He's having some minor home repairs, and his workers aren't working fast at all. All righty. All because his wife was
hired. Hire Mexicans. That's my
shit.
Hey, we got a lot of we got Mexican patrons. They'll probably like that. They're like, damn right, we outwork honkies every day of the week.
¿Cómo está?
¿Cómo está? Trabajo, trabajo.
Okay. Estoy bien, pendejos. Mm-hmm. Okay. Let's keep it moving, man. So we jump into the episode, and Dutch and Bob Cottle. No signs from Dutch today, but Dutch does announce a special summit meeting with the Stud Stable and himself that will take place, and Tracy Smothers will face Paul Lee in the Beat the Champ TV title match. Doc, anything from the opening segment there?
The Nature Boy is climbing the ranks.
I wouldn't call it that. Harper, anything from you?
We're seeing more of him.
More of who? Paul Lee?
Yeah, Paul Lee.
He's been kind of just hanging around now since like episode 20 or so. I mean,
yeah.
It's just, you know, he's there to put guys over. Good for him. He's earning a paycheck. I'm not mad at him.
We call that, in the business, we call that the menace role.
Yeah.
And we go from that to the dirty white boy and Ron Wright cutting a short promo. Here it is. Assholes.
Fans with us right now. Here's the dirty white boy and, of course, his manager, Mr. Ron Wright. And, white boy, I guess you might say this match that you got coming up, we could probably call it a challenge match because Reno Riggins is a guy that's ready.
Well, first of all, Reno Riggins made the biggest mistake of his lifetime when he humiliated and come out here and embarrassed Mr. Ron Wright, which is a living legend in professional wrestling. Now, it's plain and simple. Here's how it's going to be. I'm going to start getting the just respect that I'm due, and so is this man right here. And Reno Riggins, I'm fixing to show you and everybody walking the face of God's green earth why I am the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion.
All right, there's the words, and we're going to see if he can live up to them. Let's go to the ring.
Doc, thoughts on the promo right there?
When Dirty White Boy says he's going to show you why he's the champ, I have a feeling he's going to show us why he's the champ.
Yes.
And so again, the whole point there I'm making is that there wasn't anything super pop-worthy as a line, but everything was solid.
Yeah, agree. Harper, you?
Yes, I agree. I think he's going to beat the crap out of Reno.
Yeah.
Just a hunch.
And then we go into it. It's Dirty White Boy versus Reno Riggins. I'm not sure why they titled it a special challenge match. I mean, maybe because Reno turned down Ron Wright, I guess. I don't know, but I digress. About the 7-minute mark on this thing in the episode, not the actual match, but the episode, Dirty White Boy is throwing some haymakers to Riggins in the corner that just look beautiful. It's at
that
point.
You know what my note on that was?
What?
Dirty White Boy throws a nice left for a right-handed guy.
He was flinging them, dude. It looked great. Harper, you know what part I'm talking about?
Yes.
I mean, I was like, damn, man. It looked vicious and real, and Riggins is selling it, and Dirty White Boy's rearing back, and it's, you know, just looked really good. At that point, Tracy Smothers comes out, and he throws a towel in, and referee Mark Curtis calls a match. I didn't understand why they reversed the decision and gave the decision to Riggins after Mark Curtis, you know, called the match. I guess because technically Dirty White Boy was throwing punches and you're not supposed to after you get a warning, but whatever. I just, those punches, man, they were just so beautiful. But, Doc, your thoughts on the match and anything else there?
Did you hear Dutch say he had never seen Dirty White Boy so vicious and brutal?
Yeah.
Well, he hung Hector Guerrero and hung Tim Horner. So maybe we have.
It's just a hunch. If you don't remember, it was like episode 20 or 21 where Hector got hung by his own necktie by the Dirty White Boy.
The other thing here that I thought was, this was a nice way to get Smothers in the mix in front of him. They've teased it with the Beat the Champ belt, but that should have been done in front of a way bigger, hotter crowd. That crowd didn't.
Yeah, dude, they were dead, man.
They were.
Well,
I guess because this is like the third show there, right?
Yeah, this is week three for sure. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember if there's a week four here, because Corny has said that a bunch of times. I mean, he told us that
I hope
other day.
Not.
But they did like 3 to 4 tapings in each at the venue. So I think that, yeah, that's probably part of it. I mean, you got to figure, man, by the time you get to in a wrestling show, I was always a firm believer, man, 2.5-3 hours tops. You know, and that's from like opening match, not dark match. I'm talking about if you're running a show, you know, you start at 7, you need to be wrapping up between 9:30, 9:45. I mean, any more than that, I think I heard Iceman King Parsons say one time, "We're selling them wrestling, not time," which is a great line.
Short,
you know?
Shorter is better. Hit the tagline, Harper.
Yeah,
book it, bitch.
There you go.
Let's go.
Let's go. We're done. All right. That was good. That was Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 55, February 13th, 1983. We're done. Okay. So, hey, Doc, anything else from that match before I go to the promo?
I'm ready to see the two top talent, singles talents in this federation get it on.
We're leading there, and it's a slow build, but you're right. Dirty White Boy and Tracy Smothers, obviously. If you can't see it, thank God that shit with Horner is done and over with, and we'll be well beyond that. We then got the local promo, the Stud Stable. I was going to play this unless Harper, you, and Doc object. Harper, what do you think?
Play it.
Okay. Well, here it is.
Beautiful Bobby Eaton, the Heavenly Bodies, taking on these guys. Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, and Dutch Mantell, the Stud Stable.
I want to say Barberville, Kentucky is a great place for a fight. Robert Fuller, Jimmy Golden, and Dutch Mantell has got a fine reputation in Barbersville, Kentucky. We like fighting up in Kentucky. What a great place. Yes. Stan Lane, Tom Pritchard, and this Bobby Eaton and Jim Cornette, your Heavenly Bodies, is going down, boys. We've been stabbed in the back, had our throats cut. I'm up to here with it, brother. You cut our tires. We ought to be the champions right now. When we get to Barberville and when we get through with you guys, you're going to think we're the champions.
That's absolutely,
you know, it's been a long time since I've been to Barbersville, and I've heard all those people up there have called it the Tennessee Stud Homecoming Night. I'm going to tell you something. When I get there, Cornette, smooth mouth around the dressing room, somehow you've kept from getting your face slapped real good. You're going to get it tonight, son, along with your beautiful Bobby. You want to see some pretty? Take a look at this group right here, buddy. Yeah. And when it comes to fighting, there ain't nobody that does it like the Stud Stable. And one thing's for sure, Dutch, are you scared of that tennis racket, boy?
Well, first of all, you want to compare a tennis racket to a bullwhip. Where would you put your money, Rob, on the tennis racket or the bullwhip? I'll go right here. Dutch. Cornette, we'll be looking at you in Barberville tonight, and rest assured, we're going to own you tonight.
First off, Doc, before you chime in, I know you popped again because Fuller's got his Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys?
T-shirt on or some shit. And but the fact that these three guys and Fuller's calling himself pretty and the way all three of them are dressed are just, that was just comical in itself, you know. Or no, you ain't never seen nothing pretty like us, boys. Yeah, that's the line that popped me more than anything. Doc, thoughts?
That was it, man. They're dressed to the nines because they were. He's got cowboy gear on. What are you talking about?
They act like they're out there offering like Ric Flair in a fucking 3-piece suit that costs $1,500 when Fuller's got fucking sweats on, a white Dallas Cowboy tee. I don't know what the hell you call that shit Jimmy Golden was wearing, because he's looking with that jacket and sunglasses. And then Dutch is out there like a goddamn cowboy, like he's about to go film Rawhide as usual. But they're out there like they're styling and profiling, and that's what made it great. Harper, thoughts?
Would you say this is the closest thing they've done to a face promo?
I guess kind of, because they're talking about Cornette and them, yeah.
And about the homecoming?
Yeah, yeah. And not only that, that's why we kind of thought that was a face promo, too, when they cut that promo with the Heavenly Bodies, when Heavenly Bodies were like, well, we lost the titles. No need for us to have a match. And Fuller's like, I don't know. I think we ought to go ahead on and have the match, Jimmy.
Yeah.
I mean, that was also face promo kind of esque, too. So a little bit. Yeah. And that's a local pro. We're looking at a local promo right here that we just played. So there may be something to that. So, yeah, I agree. Any other thoughts?
No.
Doc, you?
Nah, bruh.
All right. So then we go from that to, let me just play it. It's Sullivan and Night Stalker.
Fans are right now, here's the Night Stalker and, of course, Kevin Sullivan. Tim Horner. It's coming down, no doubt about it, Night Stalker.
Believe it or not, a miracle has came to Smoky Mountain Wrestling. Primetime Brian Lee, out of nowhere, you have a friend. One friend. And that man happens to be White Lightning Tim Horner. Let me tell you one thing. On the 19th, after I beat him half to death, knocked every bit of the air out of him, took his face till he's blue. Come on, come on. Bring your friends on, because the Night Stalker is hungry and I need to be fed.
You know, Bob Armstrong, at first my analyst said, you gave me anxiety. Now he said, I'm shell-shocked. I'm ready for war. I've enlisted. I've been doing my push-ups. I've been doing my jumping jacks. I've had my combat boots, and I'm running. You see, I'm ready to face Armstrong's family of rats. And when I was a kid, I used to go to the junkyard with a long spike, and I used to hunt those rats until they got in the corner. Then I would take my spike, and I'd stab those rats, and I'd stab this one, that one, and that one, until they all bled. First blood? We'll see.
The diabolical Kevin Sullivan and an ice.
What you can't see there is his fucking mannerisms. He's just a whack job, and that actually... There's a lot more than what you hear that comes through the audio. I mean, you hear the audio, but you don't see his mannerisms. Harper, your thoughts?
He's stabbing rats, huh?
Yeah, you heard.
Yeah.
Yeah, buddy. You stabbing rats, nice. Huh? Hit him with the tagline, Harper. That's real.
That's real classy.
It is.
Making them bleed. Wow.
Making rats bleed. Oh, Doc, your thoughts on it?
Well, proving that we all have the emotional maturity of 12-year-olds, my exact note from this was, so Spike stabbing rats, we're got carny code for rat banging, right? And until they bleed.
That's nice.
So I got hung up on that. That's all I could think about.
And I was thinking, it's just another one of those things you can't do now, because PETA would have been screaming.
Right.
You're killing rats.
You're killing rats. Imagine, and here's the bad part about that.
And then you tell them, no, PETA, we're not talking about animal rats. We're talking about women rats. And then the National Organization of Women jumps up your ass.
No, we're talking about whores.
Right. It would go back to the patron episode we did on don't calling somebody a spot monkey at work, because you can't explain to them that a spot monkey, what a spot monkey is in wrestling versus in the workplace. And you weren't trying to call an African-American person a monkey. You were just calling them a spot monkey because of how spot monkeys are in wrestling. And this shit just doesn't translate. But
here's the problem with corporate America. If you explained what a spot monkey was in reality, you'd still get in trouble for calling somebody that.
That's true, too. You got a point, Doc. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that was pretty damn insane. So, oh boy, okay. Well, we move along, and we have the next matches. You know, Sullivan was heading to the ring to face Bart Batten. It barely gets started when Sullivan gets DQ'd because Night Stalker gets involved. And then Sullivan breaks out the golden spike and proceeds with another attempted murder that is censored with the red X on the TV. Primetime Brian Lee finally comes out, clears the ring, but not before Batten is destroyed with the spike. The Night Stalker and Sullivan come back in as primetime. Brian Lee is trying to leave with Batten. More jobbers try to come out for the save, but that doesn't work. Tim fucking Horner finally makes a save with a fucking barbell in his hand. A barbell. We got a lot that happened here. Harper, I'll throw it to you first, because a barbell. A barbell.
Next episode, he's going to come out with a fucking hairdryer.
With a portable electronic unit attached to it.
Well, everybody knows that we're waiting for him to come out with a fax machine.
We got that from Corny when we talked to him last night, too. He repeated that story.
Yeah, I love how whoever was doing this, working the X, has real bad fucking aim, because I saw the fucker bleeding.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love the X. I love the bad aim. It's great.
All right, so we had a really good thing happen here with Sullivan butchering another baby face, which was good. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
And then Tim Horner ruins it by running out with a barbell. A barbell, Doc.
A barbell.
Like, okay. We haven't talked about this much, but what are you gonna do with that, Horner? It's like Triple H's sledgehammer, and also
you're gonna kill it.
Right.
And it's like it's like Janice that Abyss used. I mean, what do you, if you really wanted to hurt somebody, you could kill them with those things. Why? But you know, why? A barbell. Really? What are you going to do when he's laid out on a mat? You're just going to drop it on his skull? Because, I mean, if you really wanted to do some damage, that would do some damage to a human being. You stupid idiot.
Don't discount the fact that maybe he was just in the back lifting a few weights and went, oh, shit, I missed my cue. And then just without thinking about it, ran out there with his barbell. We're talking about a guy who handed back the belt with a little kid.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you heard what Cornette said.
He didn't think anything. He didn't think he did anything wrong there.
Yeah, Harper, you haven't heard it yet, but Cornette said he walked to the back and he was like, "What the fuck, Jimmy? I mean, what?" He's like, "You stupid motherfucker." He's like, "Fuck! What the fuck, man?" And Horner's like, "Well, I didn't think. I mean, I didn't think it was a big deal." You stupid fucker. I can't do Cornette when he said it, but... Oh, man. Okay, can we move on to something better, Doc?
Please.
And I'll repeat. I want to get you real quick from you two. Wasn't this just... This was good until that, right? That whole match and segment?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes, he ruined it.
Everything did exactly what it was supposed to do until he showed up.
It shows up and with the barbell.
And, you know, he killed the hard on. He fucking ruined it.
Yeah, man. I mean.
For last night, and I know this will have already played for the audience, but I feel like Harper should hear this.
Last night,
when we talked to Jim Cornette, he compared Tim Horner at two different points. One time he compared him to Vince Russo, and at another time he compared him to Donald Trump.
Oh, Horner boy. Oh, man. Okay, so let's get into some good stuff. I'm going to call it Down and Dirty, although Dutch said he's having a special summit meeting with the Heavenly Bodies and Jim Cornette. So let me play this first part first, and I'm not even going to say what it is. Just here it is. Let's listen.
With Dutch, I'm Dutch Mantel, and unfortunately you're not. But in one of the most serious breaches of wrestling etiquette in wrestling history, the feud between the Rock and Roll Express and the Heavenly Bodies has spilled over into other areas, other federations. Now, recently on a WCW TV taping, the Heavenly Bodies invaded WCW TV taping looking for the Rock and Roll Express and the head management of WCW. Let's take a look at it now and draw your own conclusions.
Big executive, huh? Big man, big vice president, big cowboy, Bill Watts. You got a problem with the phones, huh, at CNN, huh? Got a problem with the telephones? You don't want to talk to Jim Cornette? I walked out on this stinking company for less than you. Let me tell you something. I got a problem, and I'm going to explain this. Matter of fact, I'll tie one half of my brain behind my back where we'll be even, okay? I walked out of here and so did Stan Lane 2 years ago because the people that run this crummy, stinking company tried to make the Midnight Express look like a bunch of idiots. I hated Jim Herd with a pea purple passion, and I ain't too warm on you. We left. We took and we found Dr. Tom Pritchard, and we formed another tag team, the Heavenly Bodies, and we went to Smoky Mountain Wrestling, where they appreciate wrestling talent, and we became the tag team champions of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. And then all of a sudden, like some kind of cancer, the Rock and Roll Express reoccurs, and they come and they steal our tag team belts. And before we can do anything about that, I'm sitting at home in Knoxville, Tennessee. I'm watching television, and I turn on in front of God and everybody on national TV. You're showing a bunch of videotape of the Rock and Roll Express beating our brains out. Well, let me tell you, shut up. Let me tell you something right now, Bill Watts. I ain't going to stand for it. I broke up the Midnight Express because I didn't want TBS to make them look like idiots. And I'll be damned if I let you do it to Heavenly Bodies, and we don't even work here. So I called Beautiful Bobby and brought him back to the phone, a man you've misused and abused for 2 years here. And we got our tag team belts back. And now what I want from you is a public apology, Watts, to all those people that you showed that videotape to. I want a public apology for trying to embarrass us, make us look like clowns. And if I don't get it, then brother, I'm gonna file suit. I'm gonna sue you. I'm going to sue TBS, I'm going to sue WCW, I'm going to sue Ted Turner if I've got to, but I'll raise such a big stink about this that before it's over with, you're going to be swabbing out toilets at CNN and popping popcorn in the TV.
First of all, sissy, keep your hands off of me, because I don't want to have my blood tested. Now let's straighten one thing out. You've run your mouth. There's a lot of people I'd apologize to, but you're not one of them. Everything we showed on this program, we had all the releases and all the clearances, and we've been working hand in glove with Bob Armstrong, who's the commissioner of Smoky Mountain Wrestling. You're the biggest mouth there, but you don't carry a lot of weight. Boy, wait a minute. You do carry a lot of weight. The next time you butt in on our show, I'll have Doug Dillinger and Atlanta's Finest walk your little, your big butt right down to the Crossbar Hotel, and we'll put you in jail.
I'll tell you who you ought to put in jail. You ought to have the Rock and Roll Express arrested for murder. They came out here last week and killed your ratings. You bring them out here like Henry Kissinger at a steak dinner, sitting them there, slapping us in the face. They're losers. We beat them.
All right, so I paused it there. There's a lot that happened, Doc. I guess I'll throw it to you first because fucking Smoky Mountain Wrestling just invaded WCW in 93.
How huge is that?
Yes, very much. What else you got? I know there's a lot there, and Corny actually told us some stuff last night about this.
You hear the crowd chanting rock and roll in a WCW venue?
Yeah.
That was pretty awesome. I thought Watts took a lot of abuse just standing there. That was pretty awesome. And I also wondered how awesome it was for Corny to come back and cathartic it must have been for him to stand there on WCW TV and get to cut that promo on how much he hated people that worked there. I mean, that's just getting to go back and slap them in the face on their program was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
And just awesome, and you're going to get there in a minute, but awesomely surreal to see Smoky Mountain Wrestling on WCW Saturday night with JR doing play-by-play.
Yeah, this is crazy. I mean,
awesome.
Harper, I'll throw it to you, too, before I add in my 2 cents.
Yeah, and then when a crowd is saying, with the rock and roll chant, it's just, you think they were thinking, damn, maybe we shouldn't have let these guys go.
Huh. Shocking.
Yeah.
Right.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. I mean,
because what I would love to know is to go back and watch the rest of that Saturday night and see what was more over than that.
Right.
So nothing. Then you're the suit going, well, how come the best, highest thing on our goddamn show wasn't in our wrestlers?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you know, the other part, too, about it, I guess it makes this part so good is, you got all these guys here who are well known. The most, I guess, least known at that point, and it's not nothing against him, was Pritchard, and it's only because he hadn't been on, you know, TBS at that point a lot like the other guys, all the other guys had at that point. But even then, I mean, obviously Pritchard is still a star in his own right. It just was really weird. I mean, you see this thing, I mean, this all goes down. So the let me tell you what happens after that point. They have a match, and what you heard there is Cornette finding someone to bitch to before the match, and Watts telling him quit crying like a sissy and go settle it in the ring, and that's what they do.
Hey, you know, last week I said that Corny was starting to look like he's putting on weight. Apparently, Bill Watts noticed too.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He called him fat or something.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I missed it in my notes, but
it would help if you listened to the promos as we're.
No,
doing
I had
this.
It. I mean, I just missed it that quick. So, here's the thing: they actually have a match, but Cornette gets involved with the racket and they get DQ'd and. This match, again, let me remind you, it's on WCW TV where all this happened. So, and then something else, you know, this happened. If you haven't listened to the flagship show with Cornette, Cornette told Doc and I last night, we're recording this on August 11, 2017, but he told Doc and I last night that if Watts wouldn't have gotten fired, run out, I don't know the term he used, there was going to be some more partnership at this point between Smoky Mountain and WCW. So that didn't happen because, I don't know, Doc, was that your take on it? It didn't happen because Watts was gone?
Yeah, I don't want to give away too many spoilers about how Corny pivots after this, but apparently they were going to be a feeder system and sort of a companion piece and talent swap, and I don't want to go as far as to say a minor league, but you could infer that and have a working relationship with WCW.
Yeah, that's what he told us when we talked to him. So very interesting how all that ends up unfolding, and you know, so, all right. That said, we go now from that to a segment with the Stud Stable and Down and Dirty. This is the, I guess, officially the Down and Dirty. This is what, you know, Dutch introduced a second ago. So here are Fuller and Golden now.
Okay, fans, you saw it. Now, they've had their say. They've done what they want to do. Now, special summit meeting of the Stud Stable, Robert Fuller and Jimmy Golden. Jimmy, your comments on the situation now.
Well, I'd just like to know what's going on. The Heavenly Bodies, the Rock and Roll Express, they go off to other promotions. They're with other organizations. They're not paying a bit of attention to Stud Stable or what we got to say.
We're being overlooked.
I know that the Rock and Roll Express, when they was the champions, the only thing they ever worried about was the Heavenly Bodies. The Heavenly Bodies come along and steal our title match on TV that we're supposed to have. And then when they win the belts, the only thing that they're ever worried about is the Rock and Roll Express. Yeah. When does the Stud Stable get some acknowledgement around here?
Yeah, that's what I
want. You know, Dutch, you got to wonder, you know, stars. I mean, what makes you a star anyway? You go to one company and wrestle another company. That don't make a darn with me. What makes you a star is when you have the belts. And Jimmy's right. You don't get a shot at those belts, you ain't going nowhere. I'm going to tell you something, boys. It's like an old mule out there in the barn. He's not yeeing and hawing for you. What you got to do is slot some sense into it.
All right, it gets cut off on the YouTube version, so
it does.
We don't get the actual end of it. Besides that, though, what we heard was fine. Harper, did you have thoughts?
It's they're saying the truth. How come we're not on goddamn fucking WCW?
He's preaching the gospel. I mean,
what
really
the fuck?
Well, I mean, we can't disagree with him. He's preaching.
And as far as he's concerned. It doesn't matter how much you're on TV. If you ain't the champion, you ain't shit.
Yeah. Doc, your thoughts?
I thought it was really funny that they're bellyaching and complaining about the Rock and Roll and Heavenly Bodies being on WCW TV when those are the two guys that end up going to WCW.
Right. We didn't know that at that point if you're watching it in 93, but you can look back now and say that. Those two actually end up in WCW.
Right, right. But there's just a whole lot of belly aching and complaining, and it's just good stuff because they're getting ripped off and they don't like it.
Well, I guess officially Eaton does end up there again as well. But, yeah, you're right. Those two end up there, and if you listen to Robert Fuller, he talks about how that was some of his greatest times in WCW. He even told them in a booking meeting – you know, baby's got a pot roast on, and I'm out of here. And they still kept paying him as a booker. It was literally, it went like this.
Yeah, I see. Baby's got a pot roast on.
And they kept paying him after he did that to him in a freaking booking meeting. It just was like, I'm not booking no more. I'm just talent. So, yeah, you're right, Doc. He did go there. All right. Anything else, Doc, from that?
No, ma'am.
Okay, well, guess what? It's time for some Tim Horner.
Yes.
Fucking, let's whoop up on some Horner here. So we go from that to now it's Tim Horner and Primetime Brian Lee, and here's the promo.
All right, fans, Primetime Brian Lee, White Lightning, Tim Horner. Tim, it was you to the rescue again. I tell you, you're talking about serious, at least maybe even death injuries that some of these guys are facing with what's going on in the ring.
Serious is a word. You know, Brian, I told you I'd stand by your side no matter what, and I'm going to be there, and I'm going to be there in Knoxville February 19th so you can get first blood. We're going to be ready, Bob Cottle.
Bob Cottle, first blood, Kevin Sullivan, you come out here and talk about being crazy. You know, I'm not all there now myself. I sit up at night. I don't know where they're coming from. Tim came to my hotel room last night and said, Brian, what's your light doing? Why are you up at 3 in the morning? I told him, I can't even sleep. So I tell you what, if I lose some sleep, I'm going to take every bit of it out on you, Kevin Sullivan. February 19th, first blood, I'm busting you wide open.
You too, stalker.
All right, man, that's it, Brian.
Tim Horner had to get his shit in at the end. You too, stalker. Oh,
God.
Yeah. Harper, thoughts?
It's just... It just seems Brian Lee is just really losing steam, huh?
I think so.
It's like he was the top guy, and now it seems like he's just falling down a ladder, and there's Tim Horner standing right next to him with those goddamn weights fucking working out.
Doc, you, and then I'll go.
There's just nothing good about any of this.
No, nothing. It's a joke.
And there's something worse than all of it is when Horner started pumping iron at it. But it's just my note was just meh all the way.
He looks like a complete buffoon out there with these 10-pound dumbbells or however much they were. And then at the end, he's like a 5-year-old. He's got to get his shit in when he says, you too, stalker. Just like, fuck. Just damn, dude. Okay, I got to move on. I'm tired of his ass. Dark Secret and Robbie Eagle versus the Rock and Roll Express. I don't know if I've seen a match quicker. Rock and Roll win, nothing other than that. Doc, your thoughts?
Just that there wasn't a double drop kick for the finish, but that's about it.
Yeah, that's true. Harper, you?
Same right, thing. The same thing. It was a sunset flip for the finish.
Yeah. Okay, so then after that, we get a Rock and Roll Express promo, and it leads to something else. So let me just play that part for you.
I know that those tag team belts, those things are weighing heavy on your minds.
That's right, Bob. Call the way that Jimmy Cornette comes out here and tells everybody about the Heavenly Bodies, that they are a corporation. Remember one thing, Jimmy Cornette, we've been through a lot with the Midnight Express years ago. Things hadn't changed. You see, baby, just the names have. But you remember one thing, Rock and Roll's here to stay. We don't care about that. Only one thing's on our mind. That's to put those Smoky Mountain Tag Team Championship belts around our waist, because right here in Smoky Mountain Wrestling, it is the best wrestling of the day, baby. That's what it's all about. So, Cornette, anytime, any place you want to put the belts up, well, come on down, baby. We'll be waiting on you. Just put your name on the dotted line. Look at here. We'll get in the ring up here.
Oh, wait, yeah, in a ring. Here.
What do you want?
Pipsqueaks. So if you want to get your butts handed to you and your teeth knocked so far down your throat you'll be past them for days, then come on up here in this ring right now. What's the matter? Are you stinking scared?
Jim, they're outnumbered. There's only two of them. There's four in the ring. You guys will be tremendously outnumbered.
Hey, Ricky, I bet your old brother.
You know, sometimes a man's got to do what he's got to do, Bob. the way it is.
Oh, they're going to get it on. They don't care about the numbers as they go.
All right, I'm going to say something, and Doc, I'll throw it to y'all. I understand babyface is wanting to be brave, but this is a suicide mission. I mean, you got two on four now. In rock and roll, you know, credit them. I mean, they don't want to look weak, so they do run in there. But I don't know. That kind of just – that's what I thought when I saw this. Doc, I'll throw it to you first.
Just Morton was hot, so I guess that he let his heat get the better of him. And like you said, they went into a place where they probably shouldn't have gone.
Yeah.
Right.
For you, mm-hmm. Same thing?
Yeah, right.
Just suicide.
I agree.
So the Rock and Roll get in there, and they actually get a little bit of offense at first, but, I mean, they're overcome pretty quickly by the Heavenly Bodies. But then the Stud Stable and Dutch hit the ring with chairs, and they start whooping on everyone with folding chairs. And before you know it, the Heavenly Bodies head to the back. They're gone. They powder out, hit the road. Stud Stable just proceeds to beat on the Rock and Roll for what felt like 5 minutes. Stud Stable finally leaves the ring, and they leave the Rock and Roll laid out. That part, Doc, any thoughts?
Man, the Rock and Roll took two beatings.
They sure did.
Yeah.
Eaton didn't get his hands up on all those chair shots, if you go back and watch.
Didn't. Yeah, he didn't.
At one point, I made a note that the color commentator just hit Morton. Yeah. And this goes on forever. So, like, my final note was the most beloved baby faces in the Federation can't get some help.
But Tim Horner can run out with a weight for primetime Brian Lee, right?
Right. Well, he's still winded from his last run-in, so he can't get out there, but shit.
That's true. That's true. He's blown up. He's in the back sucking oxygen like a football player on Sunday. Whatever. Harper, anything else from you there with that? The way
y'all thinking the same thing when he was giving him the chair shots, like, man, sell out, man. Sell out. Powder out, man. Fuck.
Yeah, get out of there. Stop taking that beating.
Yeah.
He took it. It was pretty brutal. All right. So, we go from that to it's Paul Orndorff versus Tracy Smothers now. And, you know, it was supposed to be Paul Lee versus Smothers, but Dirty White Boy claims Lee came down with the flu, so now it's Orndorff versus Smothers. And I do have a quick soundbite because Tracy talks at the very beginning of the match. So I'm going to play that real quick right here.
No, I didn't draw.
Hey, White Boy, it doesn't take a brain surgeon to tell that you're behind all this. Hey, when I come here to Smoky Mountain Championship Wrestling, I said I wanted to face the best. Well, this man, Mr. Wonderful, is a legend, and he's definitely one of the best. But I know this for a fact. I can't win the Indy 500 by running around the block. To be the best, you got to beat the best. Mr. Wonderful, I got all the respect in the world, but if you want some of me, I want some of you.
Well, he certainly didn't back away.
Now, where I come from, we got a saying. That's it. If you can't get along, you got to get it on. Let's do it.
And I tell you, in a while I'd...
The Hulk Hogan of the Smoky Mountains.
That's right, damn it.
People, I know that's a small crowd, but everything he said there was like, look, man, he didn't say this, but my goal is to be Smoky Mountain Wrestling Heavyweight Champ. I'm going to be that. I'm going to do it. And to me to get there, you got to take on the best. Let's do it, Orndorff. And that's that. I mean, Doc, your thoughts.
That's exactly what it is. I thought this crowd, they popped a little bit there, but they're not as hot as they ought to be for getting to see a main event match here, buddy.
Right. They're
yeah.
Yeah. But again, it's like Harper, we talked about this earlier. This is the third TV taping, so they're probably 3 hours into this puppy by then.
Yeah. And I was thinking, before I started watching this, I was thinking, where's Garvin been? And where's Mr. Wonderful? So it was good to see him back.
Yeah, I can't remember, but I think Ronnie Garvin might be gone.
I mean, what happened to his robe? The whole robe thing.
Well, if you notice, he's been wearing the blue robe out there now.
Yeah.
I think Garvin's gone. I really do. I think at this point, Garvin is done with Smoky Mountain.
I mean, I was surprised to see Mr. Wonderful.
Well, we're getting close to where I think Orndorff's not going to be there anymore either. But
Orndorff's got to go back to WCW and fight with Vader.
Yeah, he does. That's actually on the horizon. So we get into the match, and I noticed something more and more as I watch Paul Orndorff, and I've said this a bunch of times, but he has no problem bumping, selling, putting people over. Dirty White Boy tries to help Orndorff, but it doesn't work, and poof, out of nowhere, Smothers rolls up Orndorff and gets the win and rolls out the ring quickly. Very, very, very irate. Orndorff is pissed off. He then pile drives the referee and gets some serious air on that pile driver. A lot happened in what I just said, but I'll throw it to Harper first. Thoughts on the match overall?
I thought it was great to see the ref get pile-drived.
Man, he got spiked.
Mm-hmm. He got fucking spiked. That was fucking great.
Yep, I agree. Doc, what about you?
My note was the ref is dead.
Yeah.
here's dead. The thing. So, again, not bad at all, but I just had this underlying sense that these guys didn't click. It didn't seem like it paid off to me like it should have. Just didn't know if they didn't have chemistry. Could have been me. I don't know, but I didn't walk away from it as pleased as I thought I would be going into it. Don't know why.
No, I was all right with it. I mean,
okay, yeah. Fine, whatever.
I mean, you got to be a prick about it.
Probably.
Cornette last night asked me why I browbeat Doc all the time.
He did. He noticed it. Jim noticed it immediately. He asked, Mike, why are you so mean to Doc?
He's like, damn, does he always treat you like this? I wanted to say, yeah, he's my lackey. I got to steer him in the right direction.
Me and Jim Cornette are nice men. You're the problem here. I've been trying to tell people that for 3 years.
Okay. There you go. All right. Well, after all that happens, we do get a local promo with the Dirty White Boy and Cornette. This time I'll throw it to you, Doc. You want this one or what?
What?
The local promo, White Boy and Cornette.
No, I thought the White Boy was solid. Corny was just talking in the building. Nothing pop worthy. I'd say put it at the end.
Okay. Sounds good. You too, Harper. You good there?
Yeah, it's fine.
All right. So, you know, as we said a second ago, we had, you know, Tracy Smothers out there. Working a match, so Tracy now is going to respond to what just all went down. So here it is.
All right, fans, a happy young man right here on my left, Tracy Smothers. What a tremendous, what a great win that was. And I got to tell you, my confidence in you sort of wavered a little bit. You were up against tremendous odds.
Boy, I tell you. You know, it's hard enough to face any opponent, but when you're not prepared for an opponent like Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff, Mr. Cuddle, that was the biggest single win I've ever had in my career. I say that, and winning this TV title over the Dirty White Boy, that's the two biggest wins I have ever had. I didn't see what happened. I was too late. I can't believe what they did to Daryl Morris. I hope he's all right. A pile driver, there's no sense in that. This is professional wrestling. I mean, I'm out here to be the best I can be, and I feel good that I can look in the mirror, and I'm being the best that I possibly can.
What is it? Hey, I'm going to tell you what's the matter with me. You come out here bragging, saying that you're going to get a $5,000 bonus. Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Smothers. There's no way that you will get $5,000 as a bonus, because I'm personally going to see to it. And as far as I... Turn around here and face me, boy. And as far as I'm concerned, you getting a shot of this, it'll never happen, bucko.
Hey, white boy, I'm not that referee you guys just pile-drived right here. There ain't nothing between us but space, man. You want some of me? Me and you can get it on right now, big boy. And you can shine that belt up and getting it looking real nice, because I proved to these folks all over the Smoky Mountain area that I'm capable of being the number one contender. And by the good grace of God and the support of all these people right here and the millions of people watching this TV, I'm going to kick your and I'm going to take the Smoky Mountain Heavyweight Champion, because I'm a Southern-born, Southern-bred thoroughbred, born out in a volunteer state of Tennessee, and I volunteered to kick your butt like your mama should have done a long time ago when they called you the Dirty White Boy.
Well, all I got to say to that, Mr. Smothers, we'll see. Ooh, all right, fans, there you have it. One to go, one win to go, that's all. He vows you'll never make it.
Hey, Mr. Cottle, I'm $1,000 richer. I don't care what that geek right there says. I got one more match to win. If I win it, I get $5,000, and I could pay off my camper, I could buy a new motorcycle, and I could do the biggest party that the South has ever seen. 1993 will be the year that the South shall rise again. Thank you.
All right, fans, that's going to wrap it up for this week. Don't forget, next week...
I want to go to the biggest. I want to go to the biggest party the South has ever seen.
I'm gonna buy me a motorcycle.
Gonna pay off my camper.
Pay off my camper. Thank you, Hopper. I couldn't find it. He just said it. So we got a lawnmower. Pay off the camper. Buy me a motorcycle. Oh boy, Tracy's on it. And I'm gonna throw the biggest party that the Smoky Mountains ever seen. Holy shit! Oh shit! Oh, Doc, throw it to you first, because you couldn't hold it in at the end. You were popping.
No, the only thing I did not like out of all that is when Dirty White Boy called him Bucko. It was just an old Happy Days, 50s, horny kind of thing. But Dirty White Boy stood there and no-sold Smothers Rap. Smothers Rap was great. And then it's like, dude, how far can you stretch $5,000 with a new pay off your camper and a motorcycle and the greatest party the South has ever seen.
Really?
Well, I mean, what's that equal nowadays?
$1 million.
Stuff was definitely less expensive, but you know,
it's probably what $5,000 is probably what $6,200, $6,300 today, maybe.
Yeah.
All right, that's what you say.
A motorcycle's more than that. Shit.
So
I've never ridden on a motorcycle in my life, but I know that they cost more than that.
How much did you say it was? $5,000 in today's dollars?
I don't know, $6,200 maybe.
Yeah, okay. About that.
All right, so I just did it in the inflation calculator, and
it's between $5,900 and $6,200.
Actually, it's in July of 2017. That much money, when he's saying this, ends up being $8,582.
Damn. That's not right.
I'm just telling you what the calculator showed me.
I just gave you the right number.
Okay. Well, here's the other thing I need to tell you about that too. Remember, I know that's what it is today, $8,000, but in 93, you could get a decent motorcycle if he's talking about it, like a dirt bike or something. I mean, for pretty cheap, a used one especially. So, or you could even get a crotch rocket back then for probably about $4,000. So now that doesn't leave you much left over for the party and paying off the camper.
I'm more interested in the party. That I don't give a two shits about the motorcycle or the camper. I want to go to the party, dude.
I bet you do. Oh shit, that was interesting. So good stuff there. Let's I'll do the disability checks now in a second, but I do want to thank the patrons, tinyurl.com/btpatrons. Thank you for all your support. Please consider becoming a patron and support the show on an ongoing basis. It really helps out the show, helps me pay the bills for the show, so thank you very much. Again, it's tinyurl.com/btpatron. Hall of Famers, Justin Rasmussen, at ShepDaddy32, at USC 49ers Dodger, at Gerald Green III, at T-Hog94, at SV Pajam, at Martin Howell 71, at Tim Morecci, Codeman 822, at Godbold Unreal, at Unconvinced Ray. Go follow them. They are Hall of Fame patrons. We appreciate their support of the show. Let's do some disability checks now. I'm not going first. I went first last week. Doc, I'm going to throw it at you first. What are you going there with disability checks? Doc.
Hey. Oh, I'm sorry. Reading off all those names. Their names are as boring as I imagine they must be. I fell asleep there for a second. Disability checks. I thought this was a better episode than last.
Jesus.
Will you stop?
I thought this was a better
episode. Are you done?
Doesn't it sound like it?
Proceed.
I thought this was a better episode than last week. Again, we're still building some things. I did do a little bit of quick research towards the end of the episode. It does look like Ron Garvin is gone from the promotion at this point.
Uh-huh.
We do have a couple of people that are, we're a couple of months out, but on the horizon, and I don't want to give away too many spoilers, but I'll tell you that the Honorable Bobby Blaze is starting to get warmed up over in the bullpen to come in and pop the territory. But anyway, this was a good episode. I'm going to give it a 7.5.
You're fucking crazy. Harper, what are you giving it?
I'll give it an 8. A nice solid 8.
I'm going 8.25.
You lost your mind.
I don't know what to tell you. Sorry. Okay.
What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do when New Jack hits the scene?
I'm gonna go to tinyurl.com/bttamazon and see if I can find any Smoky Mountain Wrestling New Jack paraphernalia or videos on there, the things that may be missing or things that, you know, I can get a hold of, even though I know the WWE technically owns it. But that's what I'm going to do. So please do the same.
Well, if you're going to talk like New Jack, you may want to go on Amazon and buy yourself a New Jack brand bulletproof vest.
Okay.
For safe travels for the black man
through the
Smoky Mountain area.
There you go. So hey, I kind of weave that in, but please use that tinyurl.com/bttamazon. It's a great way to support the show. It doesn't cost you anything extra. Whenever you buy things using that link on Amazon, get a little bit of kickback in return. Helps me out. I pay the server that hosts the show, all that good stuff. I appreciate it. So again, it's tinyurl.com/bttamazon. Check it out and use it. Give it to your wives, girlfriends, your parents, whoever uses Amazon. Give it to them, your family, and tell them go buy some stuff there and always use it for us. Okay, government cheese award time. Doc, yours is not going to – everybody knows what yours is right now because you told Jim Cornette last night what it would be.
Sure did. I was going to take the opportunity when I had it to tell Jim Cornette that he actually got to win government cheese. He liked that. We're pretty sure he went out and told Stacy, "Hey, I just won government cheese." And she was like, yeah. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah, we were wrapping up with him when Doc was telling him that. And I said, Jim, I'm happy for, thanks for your time and whatnot. He goes, yeah. He goes, in a second, the queen of the castle is going to yell up here that dinner's ready. So we think he went downstairs and told Stacy that he got the government cheese on this week's episode.
But you go on a rival promotion or another feds thing and pop the territory like Jim Cornette did, you get the government cheese. That was awesome. He got to air his dirty laundry from his time there. He got to get visibility on a national stage for his promotion. There's just no other way to say that's win. And so, again, just like I told him, Jim Cornette, government cheese.
Yeah. Actually, I'm going to have to agree. I'm actually going to give it to Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies for their appearance there. But he gets the cheese from me as well. Harper, what about you?
Yeah, I was going to give it to Cornette and the Heavenly Bodies, too.
Kind of hard not to.
For making that surprise appearance.
Yeah, man. Yeah. So, you know, a lot of people.
Was that the 605?
Yeah.
Show? That was. It was in the, 93, but.
Yeah.
And those episodes aren't on the network yet.
No, they're not, but we'll cover that one in 2024.
I'm sure they'll be up on the network at some point, but now Harper, were you still watching? You had checked out by then, right?
93? Nah, I don't think so.
Yeah, yeah, it was. No. We'll see, but I want to. They'll put those up, and we'll get to it at some point. That's the best part about classic wrestling. There's a lot out there to talk about, so we'll eventually get there. And once they put it up, but as for right now, the flagship show. If you're not listening to it, you should be. We're in 1986, and we're having a goddamn good time. We'll say that. Okay. Lastly, I want to shout out the Wrestling Podcast About Nothing. They do two shows a week. Search WPAN wherever you get your podcast from, and their show will come up covering a current scene, indie scene, sometimes classic scene as well. Do some good stuff between the Kingpin, Brian Malonis, and Mike Crockett. They handle things there. So, and then I want to thank Joe Stassi from Old School Pro Wrestling Lives on Facebook. Go check out his online community there. And follow us on Twitter at @BTT_podcast. I'm at Mike504Saints. Hardbody Hopper's at CJH. Who dat? Check them out. And the Facebook page is facebook.com/bookingtheterritory. Click the Shop Now button and purchase a Pro Wrestling Tees t-shirt while you're there after you hit the like button on Facebook. If you missed any of the links that I just mentioned, they're all in the show notes. Check them out down there. Again, the Amazon link, the Patreon link, it's all there. So Doc, you got anything else before we get out of here?
Nope.
Harper, what about you? Anything? You want to plug the Vimeo Wildcat?
Yeah, go on Vimeo On Demand, $5 a month. Y'all scream about wanting an alternative product. Well, here it is. $1.25 a week. Don't be cheap. Harper 15 saves you 15%, man.
Yeah, use the promo code Harper15. Here's the other thing about that, too. Just for nostalgia purposes, Harper belted this out about a month or two ago on the flagship show. So here was his other way to sell the Vimeo channel to you. Here it is.
Yeah, so, like, all you shitheads that, like, always message me, how can I watch this if I don't live in New Orleans? Here's your chance. It's fucking $5 a month to subscribe. Fucking $5. That's like 5 cans of spam for y'all. So go to Vimeo.com, Wildcat. You can watch all our shit. It's $5 a fucking month.
That's how you ask for somebody's money. You insult them, right, Harper? Good job.
Well, I mean, it's true. All these people message me like, how can I watch this? Here's your chance. Vimeo.com, Wildcat, $5 a month. It's that goddamn simple.
Doc, I keep forgetting to clip the part that you want me to clip. What part do you want me to clip?
Listen up, all you shitheads. Because that has use in lots of other places than just that ad. And also, I want to know, how do I subscribe?
Vimeo what? On Demand.
What do you mean, how do you?
It's subscribe. He says subscribe. I don't know what that is.
Okay.
Fucking Cajun. Nice. You fucking Cajun hillbillies.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Oh, boy. All right. That's going to wrap things up for Mike and Doc and Harper this week from Smoky Mountain Wrestling, episode 55, February 13th, 1993. Harper, hit the tagline and get us out of here.
Book it, bitch.